With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leg Hall. I'm Michael Legg. That was another theme tune, wasn't it? Look, it's not getting any better, is it? The theme tune, but it's not my fault. Okay, Dan Marsh did. That's the third time now he's done a theme tune, and he swore he would improve, but look, he can't do it. If you could do a better one, send it in. Anyway, that's not the point. We're at Leg Hall, and that's the main thing. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you've got this far past the theme tune, well done. I cannot believe my luck today, because another person has fallen in to the Leg Hall, and they are without a question, one of my favourite human beings on the planet. But that's sort of a bit show busy when people say that. Fuck it. They're also, without a question, a true comedy great. There, I said it. An actual comedy fucking great. It's Andrew O'Neill.
Everybody. Good afternoon, morning, evening, depending on when you're listening.
Yeah. Andrew, I love you.
Thanks, mate.
You're welcome. That's not really what you say to someone when they say, I love you.
But thanks, mate.
Yeah, it's awkward. It's awkward, isn't it? It's an awkward way to start any conversation, but the awkwardness is only going to continue. I tell you what I'm going to do here today with you, Andrew. I've got 10 questions for you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you these 10 questions. And from your answers, it's very clever, this. I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you.
Ooh.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? It's totally free of charge. What a gift to you, because maybe you don't know really who you are.
To be honest, you know, people go, oh, you know, what do you want? Like, you know, long-term partner, what do you want for Christmas? And you go, well, I don't know, I've sort of got everything. I'll tell you what I would like. Well, I'd like to be taken apart piece by piece in a sort of forensic psychological profile.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
that's
the gift I never thought I wanted. I never realised I wanted.
This is what you've got. This is the mirror podcast. I'm giving you the mirror to look at yourself. I mean, and quite frankly, I wouldn't mind looking at you. I think you're an absolute dream.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, mate. I'm coming around to this love idea.
Well, you know, let's see how the relationship goes by the end of the podcast. It'd be great if we did fall in love and split up by the end of the podcast. We can get it all in. That would be amazing.
What a roller coaster that would be.
What a gift to the listeners if they ever... I don't know if any of the listeners...
Have you got any listeners?
Yeah, Neil. I've got Neil.
Oh, yeah, lovely.
Yeah, Neil's great. And I don't know if he's ever got to the end of one of these, but let's see. But now that we've given it a sort of soap opera twist, you sort of have to.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Andrea, I've got 10 questions. I'm going to be honest with you right now. The first question and the last question are questions I ask every single guest who has fallen into the leg hole.
Yeah, okay.
But the eight in the middle, the golden eight, they're all specifically and specially written just for you and no one else.
Okay.
Right. This is a continuation of what we've been talking about anyway, the question. The first question. Here we go. Andrew O'Neill. Yeah. Do you like me? Pause there. And a dry throat. And it sounds like you're running away.
Yeah. I do like you. I do like you. I honestly wasn't sure not at first when you asked me the question. I mean, at first in our lives, because you're.
Oh, that's weird. Because I liked you right away.
Okay. Well, I think you're quite different on stage to off stage, right. and I'm. My, I suppose I am. I don't know. Maybe I'm too. But you're very aggressive on stage.
Yeah, but I don't think that's how I was when we first met. You know.
Interesting. Also, I'm a misanthrope anyway, so my default setting is dislike. So it's genuinely.
Oh, absolutely.
Genuinely,
no, you must.
Absolutely, you must. A compliment. If I come, and it wasn't like I needed to come around. I just like my first impression. I wasn't sure. I think I wasn't sure who you are, and then over the years I've come to properly really like you. And seek out your company and such. So, you know.
This question sort of backfired, really, hasn't it? Because it's not really supposed to be a compliment. But here's the thing. I agree with you. You must hate people immediately. And otherwise you're going to be disappointed, right?
Absolutely.
You must loathe. Absolutely.
Can you imagine being the sort of person who likes people to start with? What?
Right.
Your nerves
must be wrecked. Absolutely wrecked. Yeah. It's.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Do you know, I'm very rarely disappointed in people due to the expectation that I set up at the beginning that someone is going to be a liar, deceitful, hateful, boring.
Oh, God, yeah. And, I mean, you know, and let's face it,
human beings are so, I can spend days on end with my cat, right?
Yeah.
Fully enjoying his company, right?
Barely says a word.
Human beings. There's the only human being I can spend limitless time with is my wife, and I'm incredibly lucky that I found someone who doesn't just by the end of just a few hours like properly wind me up. No, but I mean, like, it's not very politically right. It's not. So I'm an anarchist, right? And anarchism is contrary to what someone said to me on the internet the other day, which is you're an anarchist. You're not supposed to take sides. That's when I was railing against the comedy. Unleashed people, and this bloke went, "Oh, for an anarchist, you're not supposed to take sides." I went, "Mate, Jeff, oh my fucking word." Anyway. So it's funny that someone who's a fan of the Commonly Unleashed people, not well read. That's a strange thing.
Yeah, weird. We might be talking about that a bit later on. But I'm just going to update the profile. I put down difficult. I think difficult. I think that's
good.
Fair.
Good.
Question number two, Andrew O'Neill. Here's one of the many, many things I like about you. I like that you have an in-depth knowledge of heavy metal. You're a huge heavy metal fan. But also, you are the author of the great heavy metal book.
Yes.
But I'm jealous that you've got this knowledge. But here's the big question that I need to ask you, Andrew O'Neill. What is the heaviest metal? Is it iron, osmium, or Rob Halford?
Are you talking in terms of like periodic table, like
the actual periodic
table?
Rob Halford on
table?
Yeah,
I mean the thing about Rob Halford is he's within the heavy metal periodic, within the musical periodic table. He's not that heavy, is he? He's on the commercial end.
Not really. But you know, he's one of the inventors.
He's fully no. He's fully metal. There's no doubt. 100% unblemished, fully. And what's completely brilliant about Halford is that he has created what is heavy metal. And heavy metal is so fucking gay.
Yeah.
And that's a completely wonderful, completely wonderful thing, right? And he's and his definition of masculinity is fully is brilliant, right?
But of course it is.
Also, he's on the. I mean, one of the things I really properly, fully love about Halford is his attitude to people who wear Judas Priest t-shirts who don't like Judas Priest, right? Is
oh,
this,
yeah.
Right? His attitude is this. My attitude is, fuck off, right? What the fuck is he? That's not fuck it. I've been in fights because I've been wearing a fucking metal t-shirt. You fuck off. And Rob Halford's is, no, but you know, it's just like, you know, I mean, it's heavy metal, isn't it? You know, I mean, heavy metal's so strong in it now. They put the powerful image of heavy metal and people are drawn to it. It's great, you know, just extending the heavy metal family. That was a bit Noddy Holder, wasn't it? But in fact, no, that was Vic Reeves doing Noddy Holder.
Yeah.
I'd just like to remind everybody of one of the best things ever, which when Noddy Holder was on Shooting Stars and Noddy Holder in the impressions round went, oh, I just want a cup of soup. And they went, no, it's going, no, that's it. He's going, no. He goes, that's me doing you, doing me.
I don't think I've ever seen that. That's brilliant,
isn't it? No, that's me doing you, doing me. My impression of Tony Iommi is not. It's Noddy Holder in a vice. So you go, oh, it's great. You know, get down and get within. And then you get like you just squeeze it and you get to go down and down and down. And then you get Tony Iommi.
Do you know what? I wasn't expecting these impressions, so I've put down in the profile light entertainer.
Oh, well, God, yes. I mean, I'm surprised that wasn't in there already. I'm the non-binary heavy metal Bruce Forsyth, which is not to say that Bruce Forsyth wasn't non-binary in heavy metal, of course.
Do you know what? I'm not kidding you. I don't even know why I'm telling you this, and I'll probably edit this, but and by that I mean I probably won't because I've never edited anything out of these podcasts. But last night I spent 10 minutes on stage quoting The Empire Strikes Back in Bruce Forsyth's voice. Why? Do you know why? Because the audience let me. Random bits. And, oh, you right, know, okay. And I kept, you know, I am your father, ready for the very end of the set. Because weirdly, after a while, it built up and built up and built up. And you could see in the audience, they were going, he's going to say it. And I wasn't. I'm not going to say it.
That's a professional. That's someone who knows.
A light entertainer.
That is a light entertainer. That's Bruce would be proud of you.
Yeah.
Hold it now.
Yeah.
You've got to know because what are the audience? The audience are there expecting something. You don't give it to it yet. No, that's absolutely right. Did you go deep? Did you go into like,
oh, yeah.
Then I'll see you in hell. And, you know.
All that, yes.
Great.
Yeah. Exile smells bad.
That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really, really, really good. We're going to the Dagoba system. This is.
Yeah. Look, do you know what? I mean, you really picked out a great line there from Empire Strikes Back. Han Solo is. That's not on, is it? Like the guy said, you know, you shouldn't go out there. You might die. And go, well, I'll see you in hell. Do you know what, dickhead? I was fucking looking out for you. Off you fuck.
That's great. That's great. It's so that's why Han Solo's so likable because he's one of us, isn't he?
Yeah, of course.
You know
what
I mean? I mean, basically, you know, you'll die before you reach him. Fuck off.
Suck my dick. What?
Yeah, I love it. Your tauntaun will freeze before you get to the outer rim, or whatever. Oh, amazing. Now, do you think that Bruce Forsyth was? I reckon Bruce Forsyth probably had sex with quite a lot of other male light entertainers. And this is not in any way.
Okay.
Like, I'm not being like, you know, I just, if you think about it, right? Think about the number of fabulous queers that Bruce would have known. And there's a little bit of a queer sparkly edge to Bruce.
I guess so. I mean, there definitely is, isn't there? Yeah.
I don't think you can tap dance that well without, you know, without having a cock or two.
Yeah, you know, sure. Like, I mean, I've not done, you know, I'm not trained in dance at all.
Well, this was going to be
so
my
I don't really know how many dicks you have until you get the dance
critical mass before you can really do a soft shoe shuffle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a difficult one. And you know, he's no longer with us, so we can't ask him. Shame that.
But wouldn't it be amazing if he was and we could and that's what we asked him?
Yeah.
So, Bruce. So, okay. I can't believe you know, incredible. We've got, a legend, a national treasure. Yeah. Bruce Forsyth, your career has spanned, you know, six decades, you've done more royal variety performances than anyone else. Have you ever had a dick inside any of your holes, Bruce? Any of them? I mean, anyone, Bruce, counts, really.
Bruce, you are a phenomenal dancer. I've got a question for you. Yeah, exactly. You know, those are the tough questions we've never got to ask him. But maybe...
Wouldn't that be a love? That's just, genuinely, it makes me, the idea that they were, you know, that, like, say Sammy Davis Jr. and Bruce Forsyth fucked.
Yeah.
That's a lovely thing. A thing occurred to me a little while ago. I was reading something about Kate Moss and who she's had sex with, some salacious tabloid thing. And it just suddenly occurred to me that all the really famous people, they all fuck each other. Like, and I suddenly went, yeah, of course. Like, all the best looking, yeah, and most talented and famous people in the world. Oh, yeah. Of course they do. They all, and then I just thought, well, brilliant. That makes the world a better place.
It's like, you know, that very gossipy photo that everyone gossiped about Taika Waititi and Rita Ora. I can't remember the other actor's name. But everyone's gone, oh my God. It's like, well, what the fuck do you think they do?
Yeah, like absolutely right. And of course, yeah, in Doctor Who, you know.
Yeah, I'm rich, successful and good looking. I will fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's genuine. And that's, I'm really not being like, I just think that makes the world a better place. I think that these people are having a really good sex. That's great.
Yeah.
Lovely. And, John Pertwee absolutely was all over everybody.
Okay. I'm putting voyeur down. In
yeah.
Andrew O'Neill, question number 3. Here we go. Andrew, what do you like most about being a stand-up comedian? The travel or the cunts in the audience?
I tell you what, I do like the travel. And I've started, particularly since I started incorporating bike packing into it. So I load my bike up with camping equipment, stick my bike on the train, go and do the gig, and then go and sleep in nature, thus avoiding the second part of the question, which is the cunts of the audience. But also, I think there's genuinely a thing where I don't think any proper road comedian, to use Martin Moore's term, was surprised by Brexit, because we know what they're
like. No, of course not. Did you not have that conversation with people? All of our friends who weren't stand-ups are going, especially, you know, our...
And
liberal,
some of them who are, but who don't do
right, who may need them. Yeah. They're all, there's no way this is happening. And like, for months before, I was like, it definitely is.
No question. Absolutely no question. So that's something, and that is a counter to my misanthropy, because I don't get in among people socially. You know, I've got my friends, I've got my subculture, you know, metal and punk and weird arty stuff, and, you know, and that is absolutely a bubble. But then the audiences, you know, when I go out presenting my non-binary visuals to a mainstream audience, I know what needs to be done in order to get them over that fact before I start making them laugh with comedy that's more surreal than they paid for.
It's amazing you just said the word surreal, because I think you might be insulted by what I've put down in the profile just now. I think you might be insulted more than any of the other things. I put down realist, because despite your lifestyle approach, even, I think you're incredibly grounded.
That's nice. That's a good. That's another hefty compliment.
I think you see things very clearly.
I think it's possibly because I've you know, more than once had the shit kicked out of me. So
yeah, it's weird. We can talk about this, because it sounds a weird thing to be happy's not the right word, or even, do you know what, I tell you what's not the right word, nostalgic. But do sort of look back to my teens and just thinking, God, I really did get quite a kicking a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I can't help but think, oh, that's why I know not to go to places and I know not to speak to people.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't mean everyone. I mean, you just take one look at someone and you go, yep.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not the person that I speak to. I do not.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I know, you know, we know people in comedy who are, you know, they're the really sort of gregarious, open sort of people. And I often just think, you must have lower standards than me. Because it's not that you're going out and finding, you know, the sort of the wheat from the chaff. Because it's just chaff all the way down.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's just a big fucking chaffing.
I mean, you know, I genuinely do value how plugged into the zeitgeist. Being a stand, and I suppose here's the thing, right? It's being a stand up. So, like, I don't imagine Adam Rowe, right, has a particularly nuanced notion of what the country's thinking, because what he doesn't challenge that. Do you know what I mean?
Which is
not to insult him in any way, but his approach is so incredibly mainstream that there's no conflict within his relationship with the audience. But when you do have a conflict with the relationship with the audience, that's when you find the gaps and the cracks, and that's when you find what you can get away with, what you can't get away with, how you have to phrase something in order for them to even understand it. Because here's a big thing. People are not thick, right? Human beings are not thick, which is worse than if they were, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Because if you ask
they've made a decision to be thick.
Yes, exactly. They're ignorant. They're not thick. If you ask the average person, like the average bloke, the average footbally bloke, like ask them the stats of their team, their ability to recall really complicated statistics is incredible, right? And then, you know, the number of people who do not understand the political system, they do not understand culture, like weird culture, like it. So when Vic and Bob,
because they have a set idea already of what it is,
when it comes to like weird art or weird culture, like, so like say Vic and Bob, right? Vic and Bob got massive at one point when they were doing,
yeah, of course,
Big Night Out, they taught it, and Matt Lucas toured supporting them doing one of his weird characters, because it wasn't weirdness they'd already experienced. He died on his ass night after night after night. Because they didn't draw an audience who liked weird stuff. They drew an audience who'd come to understand the way they do weird.
You know?
So that's what we have to do in being like outsider artists, because we're outsider human beings. We have to find a way of getting the straight people on board with our stuff quicker, you know. And then and sometimes, I remember the conversation when I first started doing Jonglers, you said to me, you will hate who you're on with, and you will hate the things that you end up having to do in order to get the audience on board. That was your advice. Yeah. And you were 100% right on both counts.
Do you know what? During those Jonglers years, that's when I stopped looking at the bill like a week in advance to see who I was on with. Because why be disappointed for a full week when I could just be disappointed for a couple of hours?
If you can allow me to classify you in the outsider artist category, it's because I don't put more than one of us on the same bill. Matt, right? And on that fucking view, right? Do you know how many times I've been booked on the same bill as Bethany Black without arranging that myself in all the years of my comedy?
Right?
It was once, and that's because she was a last minute addition to the bill because someone had pulled out. They won't put two of like gender weird acts on the bill. We couldn't be more different in our approach, right? She's
really
a brilliant mainstream hard hitting stand up, right? And I'm a absurdist weirdo. They're like, well, don't want two of them on the bill.
Well, do you know? I mean, you could say that almost about anything, because it used to happen all the time at Jonglers. We go, oh, there's two Irish comedians on the bill.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, the IRA are back. Fucking hell, we've infiltrated. We've finally taken back. We dreamed of a United Jonglers, and now we have it.
And it's Fenian night here at Jonglers. Sorry, madam, you're wearing an orange top. I'm afraid you're going to have to cover that up before you go in.
I've every right to sit here and laugh. No! You do not.
Why are they marching through Jonglers Reading?
When was the last time you did a Jonglers?
Oh, they don't. I don't know.
Can you remember your last Jonglers gig? Because I remember my last Jonglers gig very well.
It was probably it was probably Portsmouth. I think about, like, I did a New Year's Eve Portsmouth, and like, and those, I mean, you know, those gigs, I just do all my comparing stuff, really.
Mm.
Those sorts of gigs, which is like, they think it's the maddest stuff they've ever seen.
Yeah.
I never stormed those gigs, but also they're long enough ago. I learned later than that how to storm club gigs with my stuff. But also since COVID, I've not really done any of those big clubs. I just haven't booked them in because I don't think I'm
ready. Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. I distinctly remember my last ever Jonglers gig. And I made the decision when I got to the venue that it was going to be my last ever Jonglers gig.
So how long ago was this?
Well, you know, they were still going. So what's that, 5 years ago?
Yeah.
6 years ago?
Yeah.
And I'm on my way to the new, as it was then, Jonglers in Southampton. And it was in some sort of Oceana nightclub. So as soon as I saw it, I went,
oh God.
I didn't get into comedy to play Oceana nightclubs.
Absolutely not.
It's depressing. It's depressing doing Jonglers. It's depressing doing Jonglers in Oceana. And I went, I think I need to wrap this all up.
But then
I went into the club and there was an act on who I'd never seen before. And he walked into the dressing room. And he didn't say hello. He just went, so when you order food, do they bring it in here? And I went, hello, I'm Michael. I'm comparing tonight. Yeah, do they bring the food in?
Oh, wow.
I don't know. I guess they will. And then this woman brought food in and gave it to the guy and then left. And as the door was closing, he turned to me and went, who ordered the escort?
Can you remember who this was?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, just message
it was
me now.
Josie Long.
Josie Long, who, when she won her Chortle Award, wrote "Fuck Jonglers" on her arms in pen.
Oh, good. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one.
After that,
And then there was
my
the
God.
And then there was the closing act who did not come into the dressing room, and I was delighted that he didn't come into the dressing room because. He's shit and a cunt, and I hate him. I despise him. And here's the thing: the show manager that night was a 20, 21 year old, 22 year old, 23 year old person called Charlotte.
Yeah.
And she said to me when I arrived, "If you want a drink, just come and find me. I'll get you a drink." And during the interval, I wanted a drink, and I knew the closing act was outside in the main room because he wouldn't come into the dressing room because he's so fucking unpopular.
Wow.
So I went out to find Charlotte.
You do need to message me these names, by the way.
Oh, this one's Willie Robo. I couldn't give a fuck if
Oh, anyone's... right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's oh, a yeah. fucking oh, yeah. solid cunt. And I went to find Charlotte and I saw she's speaking to Willie Robo, the cunt. And I went, I really don't want to speak to him. But I do want a drink. So I went up, and as I got closer to Willie Robo and Charlotte, I heard him saying, listen, I'm not saying you're unattractive. I wouldn't kick you out of bed. But at the end of the day, women are supposed to wear heels.
Oh, wow.
And I turned to Charlotte and went, listen, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back on stage and I'm going to say the name of the closing act. I'm not going to do anything else. And
right.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
I'm leaving because this is bullshit. And you know what? I got a message from Jonglers a couple of days later saying, yeah, that was really shit.
Right.
I thought, but yeah, I'm never, ever doing it again. And that was it. I was free. And do you know what? It was a massive relief.
Yeah.
Because I got off the ship just before it sank.
Right. Brilliant.
So it was like, yay, I'm free. And then I could run and skip and do gigs for a third of the money.
Yeah,
but happiness.
Absolutely, but the benefit to your soul is just. I was just looking Willie Robo up because I couldn't remember which comic he was.
And
I gigged with him once, and it was one of the worst things I've ever seen. And he was one of those comics who did the gig and then went out to try and pull.
He takes his top off. He takes his shirt off at the end of the gig.
He wears a vest, doesn't he? Every
yeah, he does. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, he's currently doing things like P. Diddy presents Bad Boys of Comedy, All Types of Freaks.
Are you ready for this? The second time I gigged with him, I gigged with him once, decided, well, I never want to see him again. And the second time he just went, you're the MC? And I went, yeah. And he went, do you know my introduction? And I, yeah, I know your name. Yeah. And he went, no, I've got an introduction. And I'm like, I give everyone the same introduction.
Yeah.
And he went, no. What I want you to say is, I'm P. Diddy's favorite comedian.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, and are you? And he went, yeah. And I went, well, you should try fucking harder then.
Do you know what? Do you know what would be amazing? It's like, because I've got one of those.
Right? Go, yeah.
I am Neil Gaiman's favourite comedian.
Well, there you go. I was hoping you were going to say you're P. Diddy's favourite occult comedian, but no.
So I had a weird thing a little while ago. Talking of the patronage of American rappers, I did a Twitter thing a while ago that was English 50 Cent. So I translated 50 Cent's incomprehensible tweets into plain English, right? And it really took off. And then someone got in touch saying he wants to talk to you. And I was like, and the thing is, he is such a horrible man.
Oh, fuck
I
yeah.
I did not want to talk to him. I ended up saying, I haven't got a phone at the moment. But yeah, he wants to talk, and then he cottoned onto it, and then he stopped writing in such a weird way, so I couldn't do it anyway. Anyway,
a shame.
But those gigs, I think that doing those gigs are really useful. I think they make you a much better comedian, because when you then go back to doing the sort of gigs you want to do, you're a better comic. There's less fat on what you do, you know. I mean, I think your solo shows are so funny, and they're funnier. Than you know, a lot of I would say like people like our peers, because there's more jokes in them. The hit rate's higher, and because a lot of comedians don't. That's not a particularly big concern for them.
No, you are right. That is one of the good things the Jonglers does for you. It sort of makes you, it does something to your actual stage energy as well. Yeah. You know, you're more up even. When you are sort of like me, being all grumpy, your sort of energy is up. But also, it prepares you for life in a brutal way that I think boarding school does for certain other people.
Right, yeah.
You
absolutely appreciate the good stuff in comedy.
Exactly, you really do.
Yeah, you fucking do. Yeah.
You know what? If you get back in the old days when you got 3 weekends in a row of Jonglers, and then you're the fourth weekend at the Stand in Edinburgh, you went, Christ almighty. Do you know what? I'm treating myself to a spa this weekend. Yes, you are. You're on at the Stand. We've got more questions for you, Andrew.
Let's go.
Here we go. Which musical instrument can you break?
Ukulele. Proved.
Well, yeah, you know what? You've picked up on a favourite of mine there.
Oh, yeah.
The ukulele. I fucking hate the ukulele. I hate the... Do you know what? I don't hate the ukulele. I hate anyone who plays it.
Yes.
They're spiteful cunts.
Have you seen my anti-ukulele song?
No.
Now, this combined... No. This is so perfect, right? This is so... Because here's the thing about misanthropes, right? Right? We hate people, right? And then occasionally we're surprised when we like them, right?
Now, of course, yeah.
I'm lucky enough to be good friends, very good friends with someone you hate with a passion, which is Amanda Palmer. I hate the ukulele, and there are a couple of people who play it that I don't hate. One is Howard Reed. Agreed?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right. Completely. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, and another is Amanda. I wrote an anti-ukulele song that was in one of my shows, and it was that one. And the whole idea was, it was like a plinky plink, one of those awful adverts, you know, with here at HSBC.
You know? Oh God, yeah.
Our investments in Lockheed Martin ensure the geopolitical stability of the Middle East. Ding, 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 ding. You know, so I wrote a song, and then Amanda really liked it. Amanda's got a ukulele anthem, right, which is one of her songs that I can't stand, because it's like, just play your ukulele. And I'm like, oh, you have empowered so many hipster cunts here. so many talentless, absolute, or dredge, awful, you know.
It's anyway, the sound of the man bun itself.
It's exactly that. It's contact juggling, polyamorous man bun creeps. that's right. And anyway, so I did an anti-ukulele anthem, and then I recorded it, a version with Amanda, and we did a video in which I smash up her ukulele. It was so satisfying.
Oh, nice.
I did two of them. It was so satisfying.
I used but did not play a ukulele in my last solo show, and at the end of the run, I promised myself the entire time I'm going to smash the fuck out of this when it's over, but I still haven't done it. I wonder why I haven't done it. I think there
you
might
got
be
it.
Something.
Is it in your house?
It is in my house. Yeah, I could smash it live on this podcast.
That would be good. Why don't you do that now?
All right.
Have you got something you can smash it against?
Wall.
Yeah,
walls are good.
You don't. Yeah, something. Go on. Smash
okay.
it out now.
Okay. Well, listen. I mean, it'll take me 30 seconds.
So should we do it at the end? We could do it at the end.
No. You need to talk to yourself for 30 seconds.
All right, okay.
I'll be back.
Yeah, cool.
And I'm not going to check whether or not, you know, you've right. not said anything or if you have said anything, because I'm not editing and I'm not going to listen to this. So hopefully you'll say something really great. I'll be back in a sec.
Cool. Well, Michael has either done a really good impression of moving away by decreasing the volume and increasing the reverb, or Michael Legg has actually gone to find the ukulele, a prop in his show from last year, which he has presumably learned to hate. And quite a lot of Michael's pain and angst is now infused in a magical way into this ukulele. And I'm hoping, dear listeners, that if Michael smashes this ukulele, he might start to enjoy life more. You know, it might be the cathartic process that Michael needs in order to learn how to enjoy life. Hello, Michael.
Hi, mate.
Hello. You got
it's
it.
It's in a case.
Wow. That's it. Yeah. So you spent proper money on this ukulele, did you?
Do you know? Yeah. I was told by my friend Dan that this is a really good one.
Oh right. Well, this is great. So it's not just one of those plastic crappy.
Listen to this.
It's a plectrum inside. Yeah.
Exactly. That Hang happened on day
how,
one.
How's there a plectrum inside if you haven't played it?
No, I pretend to sort of play it.
Oh right. Okay.
But I can't play it. I don't know how to play it.
I did, right at the end of touring my History of Heavy Metal show, I came up with the best improvised line, and I was furious with myself I didn't come up with it earlier, which was, Tony Iommi's little plastic fingertips might potentially get stuck inside someone. and then he would have to shake the person, like trying to get a plectrum out of an acoustic guitar. and it was, like, honestly... Come on! Come on!
Oh, that was fucking good.
Yeah? Is it in proper bits now?
That was really, really, really cathartic. I'm going to take a photo of it and send it to you.
Yeah, wicked. Do you feel good?
Yeah. Do you know what? I've always hated it. And also, it's taken up room in my house.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And do you know what? Here's the thing. Let this be a lesson to any listener. Just get rid of your old shit.
Oh, absolutely. Always particularly your ukuleles.
Yeah, always get rid of your yuka fucking lalies. Thanks for that, Andre. I'll be honest with you, I'm going to put down helpful.
Well, this is good. I'm glad. I'm really glad. And I was saying to the listeners, I feel that probably there's quite a lot of your resentment and pent up aggression that was in that ukulele through doing that whole run. So now that's really...
It's going to be interesting to see if from now on I'm much easier to get along with and more relaxed human being generally.
Okay, I'm now.
I feel like I might be.
I'm now going to propose something, which is that you and I.
Oh, I thought you were going to propose.
No, not yet. You and I we've still got about half the podcast to go, right? I'm going to write a crust punk song, like a grindcore crust song. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about 30 seconds long, and it's going to be smash up your ukulele, and you're going to do guest vocals on it. We're going to put it out as a joint song.
Listen, mate. No, nothing is going to make me happier than that.
This is going
to
happen.
But, yeah, I'm also got to, what would you call someone who coaxes you into violence?
An enabler, probably.
An enabler. I'll probably, violent enabler. I'll put that down.
Yeah. Property damage is completely and utterly needed in transforming society into the society we need. There's just no two ways about it. You've got to smash it up. You just have to. And I don't mean in a dumb Limp Bizkit way. I mean in a direct action, earth first, destroy, you know, Earth Crisis. Are you familiar with the band Earth Crisis? If not, you're going to absolutely love them. Vegan straight edge band. They've got an album called Destroy the Machines, which is about direct action, monkey wrenching, destroy the machines that cut down the forest.
Do they have ukuleles?
Not anymore.
Brilliant. Here's the next question. Andrew, you have lots of tattoos. How many tattoos?
I don't
know. Is there a number of tattoos or is it one?
I don't know anymore. There's one. Yeah. Hang on. One, two, one, two, three.
Right, more
four,
than three.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. But there's some of them have got added bits and that. About ten.
Yeah.
11. Sorry.
With that in mind.
12. Sorry. 12. Well,
you forgot you had another leg. with that in mind, Andrew, if you could have a tattoo of anything on anyone else, what would it be? Who would it be? And where would it be?
Well, I would have a tattoo on Rupert Murdoch.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. On his forehead.
On his eyes.
And it would be a target. Just a simple target. Not a mod target.
No, because it might... Yeah, some might think he's cool.
Yeah. Just like a classic kind of cartoon... like, just red. It'd be on his forehead. Because several different reasons. Number one, that would hurt. Number two,
I
believe that the world would be a better place if Rupert Murdoch were assassinated. I don't know if you're talking about violence enabler. Do you know what, Michael? Hey, you can't say anything these days. let's fucking unleash people. I'm calling for.
I don't think
there are many people who have done more damage to the climate, to the biosphere, and to people's lives than that piece of filth.
Do you think he thinks he's horribly evil?
No, he thinks he's right. He thinks he's making the world a better place. And that's
that I don't know if I agree with. I don't think he cares if he is or he isn't.
I think you're right
that he thinks he's right. But yeah. I don't think he gives a shit.
He's making the
really
world a better place. I mean, by the world, I suppose, let's say society. Because people like that who are radicalized about capitalism, they believe that human life is better if you take away all the barriers for people to become incredibly rich. That's what they think. They think that that's the natural order of things.
Right. Yeah. I don't really believe in evil.
Do you know what I mean? I think it's, you know, I think that people, I think that a lot of people do evil despite themselves, but they're not doing it because it's evil.
I'm going to put down good cunt radar.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's fair, isn't it?
Can you just replace the word cunt with the word bad, with the word phrase bad person, just so that this doesn't get misconstrued?
Okay. All right. Bad person. Yeah. Yeah. We'd hate to get that the wrong way around. Yeah. Right. Here we go. Here's another question. What's the crappiest celebrity encounter you've had? And for instance, I once saw Sue Pollard drinking a can of Stella.
That's very good. I once did an augmented version of my Russell Grant joke to Russell Grant.
Oh, brilliant. Okay, but that's quite a good celebrity encounter, isn't it?
Windsor Davis spilled coffee on me.
Oh my God, I've got a brilliant celebrity encounter that I totally forgot about, but you just reminded me of. I once went to a casting for an advert. That's right. And I went into the room and sat down, and I was the only person in that room who wasn't one of the main cast of It Ain't Half Hot Mum.
That can't be true.
It's true. It's true.
There's no way that could be
true. I swear it's true. I swear 100% it's true.
What was it for? Was it for a documentary about
No. Are you ready for this? I was up for an advert, and they were literally getting ready for a read-through of some radio thing they were doing.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, right. Fine. Okay, well, that's amazing. So who do you remember? I don't think I know their names.
Oh, do you know what? No, he wasn't in it. But yeah, fuck, I can't remember any of their names. I mean, it's Winter Davies and then the others, right?
The others, yeah. Well, Joe, I went to school with a bloke called Joe Bone, and his granddad was Winter Davies, and he used to... So I grew up in Wallington in very South London, and there's a few sort of celebrities live around. It's all round about there. Ronnie Corbett lived in like near Croydon, and who, by the way, right? Have you watched any two Ronnie sketches recently? Because Ronnie Corbett is shit.
Like breaking news here on Leghole.
He's really shit. Like Ronnie Barker is utterly brilliant.
Yeah, well, he's the actor.
Underrated, you know. But Ronnie Corbett cannot act. He cannot land a line.
No,
and
no,
he drags the average sketch. If Ronnie Barker had found someone decent, imagine that. Anyway, that's by the by. I'm trying to think.
It's not like they failed.
No. Yeah. But Corbett is, I think, his monologues are good, I suppose. But that's what.
But maybe that's what he is. Maybe he's vaguely a stand-up.
Do you know what? That's a good. That's a very kind analysis of this, and I like that, particularly coming from you. You know, maybe that was his strength, and then he, you know, sort of slightly strong-armed into doing something beyond his capabilities. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
That's
maybe
thing, isn't there? But stand-ups that you know that you like professionally grew up with. That you've always really rated, and then people see him on telly and say they're shit, and you just go, no, they're not shit.
Yeah.
They're incredibly good stand-ups, but their material is stretched so fucking thin on telly that there's no fuel left in the tank.
There's absolutely no fucking reason he should be in the men's 1500 meters team. He's just, I mean, the man's been touring stand-up for 20 years and very unhealthy. I don't know how it's happened.
I thought John Bishop was rubbish in last night's women's Euro Cup.
Lovely hair, though. He has got lovely hair.
He's got lovely hair.
Really beautiful hair. Here we go. Andrew, here we go. This is the question I'm looking forward to.
Oh, okay. what number question is this, by the way?
I think this is 7. So we've got 3 after that. Here we go. Andrew, why are you so angry that you haven't been asked on the Comedy Unleashed tour? So angry about it. Would it be better if they had have asked you?
So angry about it. I mean, the thing is, before I called them scabs, they would have had me on in a shot. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
They would like because having a non-binary, you know, anarchist comedian on there gives it the legitimacy of free speech that they think they deserve. Now. My theory about Comedy Unleashed, right, is that it's part of a manufactured movement, and by manufactured I mean funded by things like the Koch brothers, who billionaires who made most of their money in oil. They fund Spike magazine. Spike magazine funds Comedy Unleashed, and the whole point of it is to move the Overton window to the right, to move the centre of the political discussion over to the right. The whole thing is you can't say right-wing things anymore because of this woke culture, so we need a space where you can say it. Literally, the point of it is to move the discussion to the right. And then there are people going to me, oh, how can you say there's a right-wing comedy thing? I'm left-wing. I'm going, no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying anyone who does it is a fucking scab. And if your argument to me is, but I'm left wing, then you're a fucking scab. And literally, you exist as you're existing within the context of a political project that is in complete opposition to everything I believe in politically and morally. So fuck you, you're a fucking scab. Whether or not they're funny is a completely different thing.
It's got nothing to do with anything. You're absolutely right. Here's the thing. When this all started happening, like... When you first sort of got wind that there was, like, it used to be a shock that a comedian was right wing.
Yes.
Like, just right wing. That would be a shock.
Yeah.
But the idea then that there were more of them, and then they weren't just right wing. They were just believing in this fucking bullshit and pushing this terrible non-agenda that doesn't exist.
And have it, like, going back to our earlier conversation, right? How many racist, sexist, homophobic, ableist bits of material have we both heard on stage in our time? Tons.
Yeah, exactly.
Tons and tons and tons and tons. And you know, I had my posters ripped off my venue wall by an angry comic because after he did Spank, I went, so-and-so there. When alternative comedy came around in the early 80s, it was supposed to be non-sexist, non-homophobic and non-racist. And someone showing there that those things no longer apply. And these are, you know, and this is the thing, that nearly everyone who's involved in it are people who have always thought that they deserve a career, right? They've had this sense of entitlement about them for, you know, whenever I've gigged with them. And, you know, and I'm fairly fundamental about free speech. I don't think, I think that Count Dankula being prosecuted for that video is an appalling abuse of human rights. I really do. I think he's a cunt.
Right.
But I do not think that things like that should be prosecuted. That's censorship. That's state censorship. I also don't think that Dapper Laughs show should have been cancelled because there was an audience for it, and the people who didn't like it just shouldn't have fucking watched it. However, I think that's it.
Right.
I think that's. I don't think. I'm not sure anyone else has been fucking cancelled by woke culture. And there's nothing you can't fucking say on stage. So it's, you know.
I completely understand that. Unfortunately, my position is, and this is why I should never be in charge of anything. unfortunately, I think Count Dankula is such a cunt. I was delighted that he was prosecuted.
Yeah,
I know it's against what I it's against what I believe, but I hate him, so I'm delighted.
I know. And
here's the thing about Dapper Laughs back in those days. I wasn't happy that Dapper Laughs got his show cancelled, despite the fact that I hate him.
Yeah, of course.
I was angry because the producers completely washed their hands of him. The fucking cowardly ITV2 producers. That guy that's married to Holly Willoughby. What a fucking spineless coward he fucking is. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
So there you go. Hey. It's a heavy subject, and I'm still in shock. I'm in shock that do you remember, like, sometimes you see comedians getting like, oh, I've got a column and it's in the Sun, and you go, what the fuck are you thinking?
Well, Russell Brand did that, and I asked him about it, and he said it was News of the World, I think he got it in. Well, same thing. And I said, what the fuck are you doing that for? I mean, I asked him that a lot, and then he stopped talking to me. He said, my agent said to me, you know that sex life you've been having?
Right.
Do a column for the News of the World.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we can sort of see. And, you know, one of the arguments is, but you need us lot on those bills to balance it out. And do you know what? You don't. It doesn't work like that.
Absolutely don't. But now I sort of can't look at, I don't know, there's something about the circuit that I sort of look at and go, fuck me, almost any one of you would take a fucking column in the Sun. It's made the experience of being part of the comedy community slightly tainted.
Yeah, but then
so many of them.
Yeah, but then that's why we need to stick together. And, you know, like in music, you've got all sorts of people, and the people who are drawn to making music, so many of them are drawn to it in order to be famous, and that's the same. That's now the same. When we started, that wasn't a career option, right?
No.
When I started, I didn't even think I'd ever get paid for gigs. It was a surprise. No, it wasn't getting paid for gigs.
It wasn't the point.
No, it was like completely so far from the point. But that's coming from a punk and metal background, from a subcultural background, from the idea that you make art because it's the shit that you want to be part of and you want to put out and you want to, you know, I always made the comedy that's what I would want to see on stage. That's the long short of it. But that's, you know, 90% of comedians do not have that approach. So
No, I guess so.
So we should no longer think of ourselves as being part of that. You know? We're not all one big family. We're fucking not. We used to be, but we're not anymore. So that's fine.
Yeah, or maybe that's just part of being a family, isn't it? Of course my brother's my big brother's a twat. Big brothers are, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd like to state for the record, my big brother's lovely. But, you know, when I was a kid, he was a twat. So there you go.
Yeah.
I'm angry, so I'm going to put down that you, firstly, that you're fucking woke, and you've made me angry.
Good.
I mean, it's not your fault that you've made me angry, but you did make me angry.
Yeah.
Here's another question, though, and you know, after that quite serious one, I hope it's okay that we follow it up with an even seriouser one.
Yes, please.
What is the biggest thing you've ever seen?
Probably Jupiter.
Oh yeah. Do you know what? God, I'm so. I think so small. No matter what, even in a question like this, I was thinking, if he doesn't say the moon, he's a fucking idiot.
I'm not he.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry, it happens. Don't worry.
No. Thank you for correcting me.
Sorry,
if
cool.
They don't say the moon, they're a fucking idiot. and look how stupid I am, because I forgot there are other places in space.
Have we seen the Earth? Can we classify that we have seen the Earth or not? If you haven't seen all of it in one thing, does that count?
That's true, yeah.
It probably doesn't count, does it?
Well, right. Here we go. Right.
Am I looking at the Earth? I'm looking at my writing desk that's got my altar on top of it. Am I looking at the Earth, or can that not be said to be a thing?
Okay. This is a very serious conversation that I've had with a friend for years, okay? A very serious conversation. We were in Edinburgh playing I Spy. Right. And I said, I Spy something beginning with S, and she couldn't get it.
Right.
And the answer was Scotland.
Yes.
And she said, well, you can't fucking say Scotland. I can see Scotland. I can see it. It's right. It's in front of me and it's underneath me.
Yes.
And she reckoned that is not allowed in the rules of I Spy. But, I mean, I didn't realise, you know, there are such fucking tight rules to what you can see and what you can't fucking see.
Is it part of the rules that the other person has to be able to see it as well? So could you, for example, say something beginning with F, and that F is floaters, as in the floaters in inside your eyeball? Because I can see
them. Yeah, that, yeah. Or,
would that be,
you get something.
Your optometrist can do it.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're having your eyes tested, and the optometrist goes, I spy with my little eyes, I'm beginning with F. That's the only time anyone else has ever seen them. That, if there's any optometrist.
Now that's a good game.
Can you please do that? It's the only time.
I don't think Neil is an optometrist, but you know, Neil, become one.
Someone looking at your fucking CAT scan. I spy with someone like something beginning with C. Oh, sorry, I should say the big C. An endoscope up your arse, you've got colon cancer. I spy with my little like something beginning with the big C. Oh, fuck.
I'm putting six cents of humour down.
It's very, you can't say anything these days.
No, you can't say anything. What a Frankie Boyle you are. Oh, well done with your shocking material. Andrew, this is the ninth question. So this is the final question of your golden age.
Final bespoke question. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Andrew, through years of hard work and campaigning, you have become the leader of the Tory party.
No.
And therefore, you are now Prime Minister. Oh. Which heavy metal bands are you going to give prominent posts to, such as Motorhead being Secretary of State for Health and Social Care?
Ah, okay, this is excellent. Earth Crisis.
It is good, isn't it?
Very good. Earth Crisis as Ministers for the Environment.
Right.
As previously mentioned, you know, radical, straight.
That makes sense.
Vegan.
That makes sense.
Okay. I would make Napalm Death Ministers of Culture, because not only are they great, but they also are really, really, really good at listening to loads of other bands. Like Shane Embry, the bassist in particular, is a big advocate of other music. So they would be Ministers of Culture. Can you imagine Nadine Dorris replaced by Napalm Death?
Yes, actually, I can imagine it, and I do imagine it, and I've always imagined it.
I would love to see Barney in fucking. That'd be good. Yeah. Mm. So Napalm Death has ministers for. So transport. It'd have to be Iron Maiden.
Oh, perfect. Of course.
Right.
They've got an airplane. They know it. Yeah.
They've got a pilot.
They know what transport
just
is.
Generally, you know, like 40 years of piloting themselves around logistics. You know, mm-hmm. 45 years old Iron Maiden. 3 years' time, it'll be Iron Maiden's 50th. That's a bit mental, isn't it? Oh, it's shit, they're going to start dying, aren't they? Oh, fucking hell. Anyway.
I know. Nico was 70 the other day, and I just thought, yeah, they're going to start.
Wow. Yeah, he's not going to be able to drum like that for long, is he?
No, it's amazing he still can.
Yeah. Lovely. We tried to get an Iron Maiden podcast off the ground. I've always thought that I'd like it'd be pleasant to be a bigger fan of Iron Maiden than I am, because I like them, but I don't love them. And I think it's just such an enjoyable band to be a massive fan.
Probably they are fun.
Back in
the day.
Fun. Yeah. I mean, I've seen them loads and you know, I always enjoy their shows, particularly because they alternate between new album tour and the old stuff. Anyway,
and classic.
Moving on.
Yeah,
can you name the ministry and I'll tell you the band that should be part of it.
Okay. Well, what about who would you have as the treasurer?
Will it be? Can I say Sharon Osbourne? Maybe Metallica.
To be fair, that's true. Because they definitely would be in the in for the money. So that makes sense. Obviously the one close to my heart, who would you have as Secretary of State for Northern Ireland?
For Northern Ireland,
I wouldn't say that's one of the. I mean, obviously that is a major post.
Yeah, I'm trying to. So it would either have to be. I'm trying to think of Northern Irish metal bands.
Defence. Who would you have as Defence?
Oh, Bolt Thrower.
Oh, okay.
Do you know Bolt Thrower?
I do know Bolt Thrower.
Like crusty death metal band, and all their songs are about war. Literally all of their songs are about war.
I mean, personally, and I don't want to put any words into your mouth, but I would definitely have Judas Priest as Home Office. Because I think they do more for flapping about Britain than even Iron Maiden do.
With the song Electric Eye, right?
Oh my
which is
God.
An anti-surveillance song, right?
It's fucking amazing. So it is literally a truly great, great song.
And it's from what? Early 80s. I'm a bit rubbish on my Judas Priest chronology,
I think
but
it might
early
be
80s.
82. Yeah.
Nothing you can do about it. Like, that's what an incredible. So yeah, and obviously, in terms of their social policies, they are now all on board with homosexuality, but that's mainly because Ken and Glenn are no longer in the band.
Oh, Glenn. Well, Glenn's still in the band a bit.
Sort of. But yeah. They were not. They were not when Rob came out. They were not happy.
No.
So yeah, that would be yeah. So yeah, I think Home Office. I think Judas Priest for Home Office is a really, really good shout. Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to think what other departments there are: Transport, Environment, Home Office, Treasury, Defence.
There's probably other roles. Foreign policy.
Do they have to be British bands? Oh no, I've already had Earth Crisis. So no, foreign policy. I'd have to go.
No,
with
fuck
someone...
it. You've also had Metallica, so who cares?
Oh, that's true. Of course, I have. I'd have to go with someone radical and anarchist. So I'd probably go with Dawn Raid, who are British anarchist black metal band. So you know, immediately you welcome refugees and you work towards abolishing nation states and borders worldwide. I mean, I'm well aware. Look, this is the tricky thing. You're asking anarchists who they want in the government, but Dawn Raid or any of those sort of maybe Vile Creature, another anarchist band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you. I'm putting down here in your psychological profile a truly great Tory PM. So I'm putting that down. I genuinely think you'll be thought of as one of the really good ones.
Oh, and can you we know, get the somehow we'll just put the band Hypocrisy in somewhere just to, for that tour.
Oh yeah.
Real Tory
flavor. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. This is the final question, Andrew. Here we go. Andrew, what is Leghole? What do you think's happened here?
Would you describe
the experience? So.
I think it is the culmination of a man's career.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yeah.
I think it is the crystallization.
It is the end of something.
I think it's the crystallization of a stage in the life of a, I would say, surprisingly old man. Because I always forget how old you are. I don't know. I think that's something anger has kept you youthful. I mean, with all your various ailments you've had over the years. Itchy, flaky.
Oh,
scalp.
So much. Do you know what? I was just thinking this morning. Isn't this amazing? I'm so glad you brought this up. Oh, God, we can talk about this. I don't have piles. I've never had piles.
You never had piles?
How have I escaped piles?
I've had piles.
Mate, take one look at me. Take one look at me. How have I escaped piles?
Good. Well, you've been vegetarian for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, but I mean,
but then I've been vegan since the 90s, and I still got.
I look like I should be born with piles.
You do.
Yeah, but no, not a pile.
Can we? All right, that's a little round of applause here.
Thank you.
Well done for your low.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's really great. Yeah. How's your arthritis? Have you fended it off with your medication that you went on?
I fended it off by, I don't really, should we talk about this? Maybe I'll let it this bit
it's
out.
It's up to you.
I've been slightly looking after myself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't want that to go out.
No, I've been exercising.
Shit. What, doing weights and stuff?
Oh, I'm shit at it.
You're doing weights?
No,
and that sort of thing.
Swimming.
Okay.
And are you ready for this? I do Pilates.
You're kidding me.
I do Pilates, yeah. I'm in two Pilates classes.
The thing is, that stuff is all brilliant. And I'm like, because of, I keep meaning to do yoga because of my occultism. Because Crowley's, you know, you got to do yoga as part of it. That's the
and
thing.
There is heavy metal yoga. There is genuinely heavy metal yoga.
Yeah, I think I'd hate that though.
Yep, it seems really annoying.
Yeah, I'd really hate it. It's just like any fucking parody metal band. Well, obviously with the exception of Spinal Tap and Bad News, but they're not really parody. Anyway, they're different. But you know, like Steel Panther, even like, you know, I'm friends with what's her name? Oh God, that's embarrassing. I've supported them this year. Evil Scarecrow. I'm friends with those guys, right? Okay. But it's not my cup of tea. One of the things I like about black metal is how it's got no sense of humour.
Right. Yeah.
I really, really like that. And I like my metal to be a bit fucking stern and a bit, you know. So, yeah, heavy metal yoga, that's not for me. I want I want hardcore new age, you know. Do you know? Like, yeah. I want that. No,
I want a fucking dream catcher, not fucking.
Yeah,
you know,
I just
anthrax or whatever going on.
I've got, look, I'm fucking. You know, this is me being an elitist, but like, I go to Bloodstock and I really like blood. Bloodstock's where I feel comfortable. The one festival I feel most comfortable. But even there's people in like wacky suits, you know. And I was like, can we just be fucking metal without the wacky? Can we leave the wacky at home? Leave the wacky at download.
Do you know what? I know it's not the same thing, but if I can have a tiny percentage of your pain, I cannot bear wacky Star Wars t-shirts.
Yoda's
behind twin decks,
yes,
and he's got headphones. Just stop that.
And you know what I really hate? Is the ones that are like Matt, like, oh, I've got it wrong ones. Now, here's the thing, but this is, this may be hypocritical of me. No, it's not. This is just me being elitist again, right? You can make, there are things that are really funny, right? Where you get something wrong. And the funniest thing I've ever heard on the TV, right? Was on Shooting Stars when Richard, Victor Meldrew, what's his name? Richard, the guy that played Victor Meldrew.
Oh, Richard Wilson.
Richard Wilson was on Shooting Stars, and Bob said, "Richard Wilson, with your catchphrase, 'I don't believe you.'" isn't that absolutely brilliant, right? That's amazing, right? But and some of those are, you know, my favourite one is, I made one up of Dad's Army. So I have like a Dad's Army t-shirt. It says, "Don't tell Pike." right?
Yeah.
So these things can be funny. But what I hate is when they gild the lily and you have a Dalek and it's got a picture of R2-D2 brackets. Oh, I loved you in Star Trek.
Oh, God.
You know?
It's just so tedious.
Yeah. It's so tedious.
And it's so heavily repeated that there's no one on the planet that doesn't know that.
Yes.
So when they say it, like on Twitter, it's like, what? Why are you saying that? Do you think I don't know this?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I absolutely. But here's the thing, right? And this is where we're wrong, right? Because those people, do you know what they're doing, Michael? Do you know what they're doing?
They're getting,
you're enjoying life.
Yeah, they're getting on with it. All right, I'll tell you what fucked me off. Andre. I'll tell you what fucked me off.
Please.
I saw a guy in a newsagent just a couple of weeks ago, and he was wearing a hoodie that said, "Stay calm and Brexit." Now, firstly, it's shit, isn't it? It's shit. And do you know what fucked me off the most? It's keep calm. It's keep calm. It's not stay calm. I'm fucking livid.
Oh, that's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. Here's the thing. I was in King's Cross. I was York Way next to King's Cross Station, right? But getting a bus home back when I lived in Tupper Park. So this would be about 4 years ago. And it's about 1-2 in the morning, right? And there's a kebab shop and there's people hanging around and like, just getting on with their evenings, right? And there's a woman in her 40s and she was with a boy who I would estimate would be about 10, 11, 12, right? Maybe something in that region. And this young man was wearing a hoodie that said, "Never stop hustling." Right? and this is the key piece of information, Michael, right? He wasn't hustling.
He didn't read his own fucking hoodie.
No, but does that mean that he hasn't started hustling?
Oh, that's true. So maybe he hasn't started.
So
yet.
He's pre-hustle.
Yeah.
He never stopped. I just love. It's right. Here's one. This is just observational comedy now, right? But people wearing Friends t-shirts. Have you seen?
Yeah.
Of
course. Yeah.
And I know they just sort of sell them in shops, but what a thing to ally yourself to. Do you know what you need to know about me? You know that absolutely beige mainstream. Everyone in the world watched it. It's not even okay, someone wears a Coronation Street t-shirt. That's great, isn't it?
I guess so. You know, it's...
it's something in
there. Because it's kind of... there's a warmth to it as well. There's sort of like... And it's kind of funny.
And it doesn't feel too hipster.
No one got paid £1 million an episode. Coronation Street. So that's part of it.
You've nailed something there. That's absolutely it. And the degree to which Friends was part of the mainstream culture, just part of the conversation and part of all the, the fact that there was a haircut that came out of it. People go, you need to know. I used to quite like it. Well, I probably, I haven't watched it in fucking ages, but I used to watch it. I mean, I watched all comedy when I was a kid. Everything.
Sure.
I loved everything. Yeah. I loved Bobby Davro and Russ Abbott and, all of it. I loved it. But that, fucking Friends t-shirts. It's fascinating.
Yeah, it seems weird to say, guess what, I like something that is a global phenomenon.
But then is this just us being, again, elitist? Is this us? But here's the thing. I do think there's value in liking something, like really, there's something, when someone really likes something, there's loads, I don't like fucking Marvel stuff or Dungeons and Dragons or anything, there's loads of stuff I don't like that's sort of adjacent to what I do like. And when people's like really, really, really love it, but then the more niche it, the more, like, for example, liking old school Doctor Who is better than liking new Doctor Who.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
And there aren't
liking the very worst of a classic Who is is way better than liking the very best of new Who. And it's still called New Who, as far as I'm concerned.
It is, and it will be. So I worked out a little while ago, we are in terms of years, because it started in 2015, right? No, 2005, sorry. We are in late Tom Baker era. That's where we are.
Yeah, of course we are.
Because it's going to be the 20th anniversary in 2 years, 3 years. And that takes us up to the Five Doctors. That's mad.
Yeah. Do you think they could do a Five Doctors? Yeah, they could do a Five Doctors.
They're going to do the 60th, the BBC 60th anniversary. No, sorry, the 60th, the Doctor Who 60th anniversary thing. There's going to be loads of Doctors in it. It's already confirmed. But also, Doctor Who's been back for longer than it was away.
Is Eccleston going to be in it?
I don't know. He's doing Big Finish now. But it's no, it's because it's Russell T. He hates Julie Garner and Russell T. Davis, doesn't he? And he felt really stitched up by them. Like he fell out with them, and then he feels that they stitched him up. So right. I think he would if it was a different team producing it, but I don't think he will for them. Because he's a principled man, Christopher Eccleston. I knew we'd get round to making this a Doctor Who podcast.
Right. So here's the thing. I'm just writing the last notes here. I put down Elita snob.
Yeah, correct.
And just because the Doctor Who thing, nerd.
So, oh, yeah. It's funny. I thought I was a nerd, but then people go, oh, so you like this? No, I don't really like that. It's like I used to think I loved thrash metal, right? But that's not... Right. I don't think I can claim that because just because a few of my favourite bands are thrash, but then there's loads of old school thrash I don't like because I'm really picky with vocals. So I don't like Testament. I don't like Exodus. I don't like...
But you might be able to say that really about anything. I mean, you know, I like indie. But almost all of it is shit.
Indie's too wide a category for that to be a thing.
Okay.
You know?
I
dislike the majority of thrash. Like, and the sort of like the pantheon that you're supposed to love.
Sure.
I don't, but it's just because of the vocals. I mean, I cut like Megadeth. I don't like Megadeth at all. Don't like Anthrax. Don't like Testament. Don't like Exodus. It's, you know. So really, I mean, you know, I love Metallica and Slayer and Sepultura, but, and I like a lot of the new stuff. Toxic Holocaust and all that sort of great stuff, but pest control. Right, if there's going to be one takeaway from this, everybody, if you like thrash, if you like crossover thrash, Pest Control from Leeds, so good. You should listen to him, and you, Michael, should listen to him.
I'm gonna the John Peel of metal. There you go.
But I didn't marry a teenager in America.
Yeah, I just realised I was writing it down. That could be construed as an insult.
I wonder if they're taking... Well, there's a campaign to change the John Peel, the name of the John Peel stage at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
It might be.
It's very dodgy.
Have you been to Glastonbury? Dodgy.
Yes, I didn't like it.
When did you go?
I went in 1999. Oh. I had a shit time.
Did you?
I was gigging, but I was with some friends. And we were leaving on the Sunday, which I was delighted about. I was, thank fuck, we're getting out of here.
Right.
And then my friend said, oh, we're all a bit hungry. We should get some food. Why doesn't one of us stay here with all the camping equipment that we fucking put away? And we'll go and get some food. Are you ready for this? They went and got food, but it took them so long because I couldn't move anywhere. Yeah. I had to stay in that one spot. Yeah. I saw all of the Coors and all of Lenny Kravitz's sets.
Oh my god, that's so bad.
Fucking painful.
Someone I'm friends with on Facebook was bemoaning the fact that Glastonbury is not what it used to be. And then I looked up old lineups and I like Level 42, right? But I'm well aware what Level 42 are. They headlined in the fucking late 80s.
Yeah, of course they did.
It wasn't a fucking I was dead against it, and then I went, and I actually really enjoyed it. And
you're cut out for festivals, and I'm not.
Oh, okay, all right. That's an element. That
There's no way. I don't like camping.
I wasn't taking into account. Yeah.
I like comfort, and I hate being cold. I hate it, which is weird considering you know Irish and all that stuff. You'd think I'd be a bit thicker skinned, but I'm not.
Most Irish people are descended from people who lived in Spain, so.
Very true. I don't think I can. I don't think I'm one of them.
Do you like the heat?
I love the fucking heat.
Yeah, I do.
Love it. Hotter the better.
And I get, but also I get. I don't mind the cold. I'm very good. I'm very good at maintaining. I've camped in like -2, and it's been fine. But I'm fine with the cold. But I don't like. I get SAD, so I get really miserable in the winter. And I fucking love that first hot day. You know when it's like it's not just bright, it's hot. I love that so much, and it really, really makes me happy.
Oh, mate, I just really, really love it. It feels like you've broken through something.
Yes, exactly.
Is that totally all over now? Oh, brilliant.
Yep.
I agree. Great, we'll have this for maybe 2 months. Yay! Yeah.
And then I tell you what, that incredibly hot weather we had the other week, that made me go, actually, do you know what? I think I might have had enough summer for the winter to be okay.
Exactly. That's all I ask for.
Yeah. You know? Also, because we like going up to the fringes. Are you doing the fringes here, by the way?
No, I'm not in Fringe. I know you are.
Yeah, I am, yeah. 5:30 at the Liquid Room Annex. I'm doing my show. We are not in the least afraid of ruins. We carry a new world in our hearts. And it's the best show I've ever done. So I'm doing it again. I did it in 2019. But please come and see it. It's free. But I, being in Edinburgh in August, you miss out on a third of the summer.
Yeah,
you get
that's
back
true.
In September. And if you have a good September, it's okay. But if you get back in September, it's miserable. Then you're like, oh, fuck, here we go. Back into the winter again. I should move somewhere. I should move to Australia.
Although, you know, that said about the Fringe, you do, during that month of August when you're at the Fringe, you're outside way more, well, I am, than I would be if I wasn't there.
Like, yeah.
If I'm at home, I'm in the house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know,
you're
you don't hang out.
Now.
That's true. I volunteer dog walking every day.
So that's brilliant.
I'm this really nice guy.
Oh, that's really nice. That's really, really nice.
It's a very lovely thing
so,
to do.
So you're sort of like, you're having a bit of your fill of dog, but without that thing of like getting another dog. Yeah?
Yeah.
Would that be a thing?
And, and like, you know, it's like I'm allowed to sort of walk them, pet them, but you know, I don't need to pick up their shit. I just leave it there. It's not my dog.
Yeah. I mean, I have a thing. This is a horrible way to end the fucking podcast, but my cat, Ghost, like, and you know, I love him. I love him so much. And he just brings me so much joy, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I have this thing of just going, this is temporary. I'm annoyed.
Gosh.
I'm so annoyed that this is a temporary thing, right? Because, you know, we're going to lose him. And that's going to be, I don't know if I can... I can't even handle the thought of it. You know what I mean? What I'm trying to do now is go, this is temporary, but that's what this relationship is. This isn't forever. Get this out. Get what you can out of it now. It's a strange fucking, relationship.
It is literally the thought I had the day I got Jerk.
Was it?
My dog Jerk. Yeah.
I mean, Jerk is what I'm alluding to here is, you know.
Yeah. I just thought one day I'm going to ask someone to kill you. And I don't think that I will enjoy that.
Yeah.
And luckily, if there was a good thing about Jerk dying, I didn't have to make that decision. She just died.
Oh, okay.
But, so that was, it's huge. It's too big. Why do we do it?
Years ago, my mum said, I'm never getting another cat. And I didn't realise, I didn't get that until I had my own.
It's too big.
It's not really talked about either, is it? It's not really.
No.
But then,
pet grief's not.
Stuff is.
No. But you hear those stories about, well, you know what? We had that dog for 12 years. And then, you know what? One day he just disappeared. Because they do that. They just walk off when they know it's their end of their days. And I was like, well, I wish that had a fucking happened instead of taking her to the vet. And then getting a phone call, she's definitely dead.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, you know, so the least I can think, well, maybe she's out having fun and, you know.
Sort of like the littlest
she's in the
hobo.
Woods. Right. Yeah, she's on an adventure.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And on that cheery note. Can I just say this, Andrew?
Yeah.
It's been brilliant talking to you. And what's an amazing thing is this podcast is over twice the length, I think, of any of the other Lakehole episodes.
I apologise to
everyone. And I'm delighted. It's fucking brilliant. It's really, really, really brilliant. It's so great to talk to you. And
do you know what, Michael?
Do you know what? You're funny and you're fucking smart and it just feels...
Thanks, mate.
It feels like being in a spa talking to you. It's just, thank God this good thing happened.
Do you know what, Michael? I love you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But it really happened. And let's end it there. Thank you, Andrew. I love you too. Bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.